Father, we just thank you for this gathering today. Thank you that we feel your presence with us, and we know, Lord God, that you are here to encourage and uplift us in the Spirit, and to give us new strength to go on and to overcome.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, we want to be overcomers.
Amen.
We just will not be satisfied with anything less. And so, dear Father God, do what you have to do to us and to our circumstances to bring us into that place of being overcomers. For in our hearts we are determined, Lord God, that we will make it.
Yes.
By your grace.
Amen.
And by your mercy. Therefore, O Lord God, we commit ourselves to you tonight. And we ask that your word will come forth to bless and to deliver and to strengthen and to help.
Yes, Lord.
So, dear Lord God, we commit our hearts and minds and our hearing into thy hand.
Amen.
And we pray that our hearing may be anointed, Lord God, to hear the word and to be blessed according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The word that the Lord is speaking to my heart tonight is pertaining to climbing by faith, how we will reach there. I know it's so very easy to say you must do this and you must do that and you must obey the Lord and you must be good people and so on, and yet in the everyday working out of the situation, it is something different. I can see, as I sit here, I can see the gifts of the Spirit in your midst, and I can see that it's going to take faith for you to rise up and, not knowing what you're going to say, and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I remember the day when God told me to get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and the moment I got up and said, "Thus saith the Lord," I heard a sentence, and he gave me one sentence, and I said the sentence, and before I could finish the sentence, another sentence flashed to me, and then it began to flow. Unless you initiate the move and do what God wants you to do, you will not be able to break through into that place. And then the gift of the Spirit, some people mistake the gift of the Spirit for righteousness. Oh, because I have knowledge in the Spirit, because I have wisdom of the Spirit, because I have a gift of tongues, because I have interpretation of tongues, because I have prophecy, I'm all right. And this is a terrible, terrible tendency in our midst. A lot of people go around and they become healers just upon the basis that they have the gift of healing. And it's terrible to think that a man is a minister because he has the gift of healing, or a woman because she has the gift of prophecy, she's a prophet. Nothing of the kind.
Amen.
You see, the maturity, the gift is supposed to bring you into maturity.
Amen.
Or to help to mature the church.
Amen.
And I've seen some of us go so far as to use the gift and bless God, people, and we remain dry. Did you know that? You can use the gifts of the Spirit. You can bless God's people and you remain dry. God tell you something to tell somebody. You tell the person and the person is blessed and lifted up and you remain. Same place. Not a move on. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary for us to understand what we are dealing with and how that we should appropriate the things unto ourselves. Never consider yourself a preaching machine or a giver, and not consider yourself as a receiver. Every word that you talk, it must bounce back into your own heart, and it must cleanse you first.
Amen.
And then you're expected to cleanse the other person to whom it is sent. Praise be to God. I want to take you to Hebrews. And we're going to touch on chapter 11. Now faith is the substance, first verse, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for. What do we mean? That faith is the substance of the things we hope for. It means that if you can have faith for anything, then you have the very substance that is creating the thing. If you got a little tape from me called Why Pray, or another tape on prayer, you will see that we speak about the very sinews that God uses, God's muscle. What He uses to bring forth things. And that God speaks of the things that are not as though they were. So when I get up here and said, Lord, I want so and so, I ask God for it, and it's not there. And God has to go and create it. Many of the things that I, after I learned that principle, you see this watch on my hand? It has five alarms. And I was preaching, and I needed something to tell me that I'm over preaching. I'm running over, doing too much. Brother Steve smiled because he knows a lot about that. He knows some about 3-hour messages when the tape recorder ran out. You know, I wanted this watch, and I asked God to create the watch. I waited a year for it, but when I went to the people who sell the Seiko watches and I asked him if there is such a watch, he said in another 3 or 4 months they are bringing out one. Amen. And I am very careful with spending God's money, so when I went back to him and he said the watch was there and it cost $300 and odd, I said no, that's not the price I want it at. And I just waited. I waited until I went to Jamaica and walked into one of the in bond stores. You know, they sell it without tax. No tax, nothing is onto it. And you walk into one of these in bond stores and I saw a watch for $170. And I said, that's my price. Amen. That's my price. So I got the watch. And I got it at the price, but God created the watch. Amen. We were in a meeting in California, and we needed a tape recorder. I was having a hard time transferring tape from the reel tape to the cassette. And I said, why couldn't we have a tape recorder, a tape deck, a tape machine, Danny, that would do the transferring for me. I put on a reel and a cassette comes out at the other side. And so we prayed about getting such a machine. Nobody knew. But then one day we were ministering and there was a man in the congregation who wanted prayer because he's an engineer, but he says that he's got a machine at home, and every time he goes to touch a machine, it's like he's going crazy. Something just hit him, and he cannot finish this machine. And so we pray for him and say, by the way, what is the machine? You know, he took me to his house, showed me it is a machine that puts a reel tape on one side and brings out a cassette on the other side. Amen. Now, I have to believe God. And I want you to know that you can be perfected through faith. Now, when we preach faith messages, like I am telling you here, the tendency is to tell you about how someone can get a Cadillac, or how you can get a machine, or how you can get your house sold, or how you can do this or that by faith. But the only reason why God does these things for us by faith in the natural is to teach us spiritual principle. The principle is that God, our Father, is a creator. And the moment we enter into God, we also enter into the creative powers and processes. And when we ask God for something, God creates it and brings it to us. And he says the husbandman patiently waits for his crop. So therefore, to have faith is one, but to wait is another. Amen. You must have both faith and wait. He shall mount up. Said they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now God can flick his finger and produce anything that you want. But God's method is to create the thing through the processes and the powers which he has available. And so if a person asks for a husband or a wife, and you really want that from God, and there is no such person alive, God goes and he makes one. See, he takes what he has and he makes it and he brings it to you. But lo and behold, when he brings it to you, you get yourself involved with somebody else. Or you didn't see what God was doing. Then you are a loser because you did not wait. You had the faith to ask, but you didn't have the faith to wait.
Yeah.
Now, therefore, in teaching us the principles of God, it's good for you to study your Bible. It's good for you to pray. It's good for you to do this and that. But you need to ask God to do it to you. Now, when God is doing it to you, don't quite ask him to stop. Because if you want to be perfect, if you want maturity in God, you're going to have to say, God, through Jesus Christ, all this is provided for me. Did you realize that even spiritual maturity is provided for you through Jesus? And you can ask Jesus for spiritual maturity and get it. But you're going to have to make up your mind to suffer to get it. Because you see, we get salvation free. And I discovered from you get salvation, there is nothing else free. You have to pay for every step that you make in God. Here is the mother of James and John. Went to Jesus Christ with a proposition. And she said, can you make my two sons, one sit at your right hand and one at your left hand? Meaning to say, she was asking for her two sons the very highest place in heaven. And Jesus said, the first thing he asked, are you willing to suffer the suffering that I suffer, to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And he said, yes, we are willing. And you know what he said? He said, yes, you will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But that the giving you of the place is belonging to the Father. In other words, Jesus Christ was saying, because you have the faith, because this is what you want, you're going to have it. But the position belongs to God. He gives positions. So therefore, when we're talking about all the spiritual benefits, the glory, the upliftment, the strength, the Christ-likeness that we want, we can only get that by believing God, asking for it, and see him work it out. You see, faith, therefore, is the substance. And I would like us to leave here tonight with our bags full of this substance.
Thank you, Lord.
because it is right here and waiting for you. All you have to do is to believe God. I am going to make it. And you don't care what happens next, because all the circumstances, all your own weaknesses, all that is nothing but a blessing. Let me tell you something. I am blessed when I meet people who see their weaknesses.
Amen.
I am doubly blessed who meet people who weep over their weaknesses. Because it means that the Holy Ghost is not only with you, but He's in you.
Hallelujah.
For no man can see his weaknesses except that the Holy Ghost shows them. He comes to convict the world of sin, of righteousness. Oh, I am righteous. And the Holy Ghost convicts you, and you feel like a little puppy. See what I mean? And I know that every man who sees Jesus feels small.
Amen.
If I see a man who feels big and is a big shot in God's business, I don't care one cent about him and his big shotness, because I know the bigger he is, the smaller he is. He's not seeing Jesus Christ. Anybody who sees Jesus Christ feels very small. See? So, faith is the... I looked up that thing to see if it was one of those ambiguous articles that could be at a ZRA, the substance or a substance. And the scripture is saying the substance. That is, it is the main, the only substance of the thing that you hope for. What's it you hope for? Come on now, just touch your hopes in your heart.
Right.
You touch on it, you see what you'd like to be. Have you ever sat down and consider what you would like to be? Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
And you don't even know what it is.
I don't have any.
Hallelujah. Yeah, flying around the sky or something else. Amen. But if you can think of what you would like to be, and of course, the shortest cut is to be like Jesus. God, I don't know what Jesus was like, but I would be like, I want to be like. And if you really get to God with that proposition, that you want to be like Jesus, you're going to see some things start happening in your life. And every time something happens that looks negative, looks like it intends to kill you, say, thank you, Jesus. I ask you to make me like you. See what I mean? In other words, while you're in the circumstances of being made like Jesus Christ, you cannot see. The piece of steel cannot see what you intend to make out of it. All it can see is a fire that is melting it and seeming to be destroying every atom in it and changing it.
Hallelujah.
To liquid. Hallelujah. And the steel, if it could talk, it would say, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I'm dying. I'm going to lose my steelness. But when the man is finished with it, it is tougher.
Yeah.
It is purer. And it is better.
Yeah.
And it has now a purpose.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
See what I mean? So, God is working on us.
Yeah.
And one of the places He works most is in our minds. For the mind is the head of the soul. And around the mind, the soul pivots. You know, your feelings, amen, pivot around the way you think. Praise God. One time I didn't like onions. Couldn't stand the smell of it. Made me sick. And I said, the onions are good for me. It has iodine in it, and it's good. So since onion is good for me, I'm going to like onion. Begin to condition my mind. So I took a piece of onion, put it under my tongue, And I mean, I didn't vomit, but it couldn't be almost like that. And I kept it under my tongue, and by the end of the day, I liked onion. And now I'll take a raw onion and chew it and like it. Of course, I wouldn't do that in a meeting, you know. But, yeah, I'll do that and like it. And you know what? I find out that if I have a sore throat and I take onions, it kills it.
Thank you, Lord.
Just like that. So, I mean, I'm just talking about the unpleasant things that sometimes are good for you that God will do to you. Do it to you.
Amen.
Let loose a man on you or a woman that is just bugged the life out of you. And you're saying, you know, this thing is meant to kill me. I want to get rid of her. I'm going to get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. Say, thank you, Jesus. There must be something good in this. You know what I mean? It's like the day I broke my leg. And the pain was terrible. And I could hold on to the leg. And all that coming out of this guy, but I was praising God. I know it was for a purpose. I couldn't understand the purpose, but I wasn't going to make it stop if I'm going to meeting that night. Amen. So I got a crutch and I stood up and preached that night. Amen. And the next night, and the next night, because I wasn't going to make a broken leg stop me from going to the meeting. And praise God. You know, finally after 11 days, and I saw that the leg didn't get better, because I expected it to just heal like that. But it didn't heal like that. It seemed God wanted me to have a testimony to a man. And the brethren come and say, we won't allow you to stay here any longer in that condition. They made an appointment with a doctor. I said, okay, I'm submit, I'll go. So I went to this doctor, and the doctor looked at the leg broken right in the joint, splintered right inside of the joint here, baseball ran and slid into the base, and my heel caught in a hole, and the whole weight of my body with momentum went over and broke it. And the doctor said, at your age, he said, you may never walk again. He said, it's a very foolish thing you have done to keep this thing 11 days. He said, we have no guarantee that you'll ever walk on that leg again. And out of my mouth came a rebuke. I said, I walk in 7 days. And he thought I was a madman. And he said, all right, do you want me to tie it to bandage? I said, go right ahead. He bandaged it. And he put a big bump under the bottom that I couldn't walk on it. You see? So I had to have it like this. And at the end of 7 days, I went back to him. And I said, I would like you to take off the cast off the leg. So he called to one of his men. He was going to teach me a lesson now. And he said, cut it off. And the guy came and cut the cast off. And put up the leg there. And the doctor came in. And he came in just like this, quietly, and held it, and did like this. If it wasn't better, it would be worse. If it wasn't really better, I'm telling you, that would have broken it. And then he looked up at me. I smiled. And he said, you are right. To me, that was a testimony to that doctor. He was so ashamed. He dropped the leg and walked out of the room and tell them, you know, to give me the therapy to loosen it up. But praise be to God, what I am talking about is that you must begin to believe that all things are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is your all. A-L-L. That all that you need, all that you hope for, all that you ever will be is in Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed or don't be afraid to go to God and say, God, give me your all. Anything. I was sitting down at a table with a brother, and we were talking. I don't remember what we were talking. All of a sudden, bam, it hit me. God says, you go and build a house. I said, but Lord, I don't have the first cent to pay for that house, to pay for the foundation of the house, much more to build a house. And then the word came to me, what man of you will start to build a house and don't know how he's going to finish it? You remember that word? I said, well, if I start by faith, I will finish by faith. So I went home with great joy in my heart. And all I could find was the money to pay the city for the building permit. And I paid the city for the building permit. And here come some of the brothers from Michigan coming down. And the brothers say, well, I'm a Mason and I want to help you build a house. And at that time, I had no way of putting down the foundation. This brother went down the street and came back up and said, you know, I met a nice man today. He's the proprietor of a cement company. And he said he would supply you with all the cement you want and wait for 30 days for the money. And I thought that to be a word of the Lord. Next morning, the cement came and the foundation cost. Before that, of course, one of the brothers came down from Michigan and he said, I have all the plumbing you need. I've been, you know, have them put waste off different jobs and I can't give you enough. He brought basins, he brought tubs, he brought plumbing and he put them in and they cast it over and so the foundation was up. And it went like that day after day. Here is my witness. Day after day, material come from all different places, all different things. Somebody come offer the material. Take this. If you can move it, take it. And the house is finished. Just like that. Because I believed God. You see, but this is material things. Why would God do this? Why will God do that for you? Because it is an exercise of faith. You ever lift weights? You ever exercise? You lift and you lift, and then after you lift, the first time you lift so many pounds, you find that you get light. It's the same amount of weight, but you're getting stronger. So you lift a little more, and you lift a little more until you're surprised to see what you can lift after a while. What we're talking about? We're talking about exercising your faith. Because that substance is in your hands. And then God is going to turn around and say, well, if you can build a house by faith, why not build my house by faith? If you can do so-and-so by faith, why don't you do so-and-so? And that's the only way that God will get out his investment out of you. When he invests in you in the natural and you turn it to the spiritual. A substance. This magnificent substance that we have. I think even that I'm talking now, you are not taking it as heavy as it really is. Because the next verse says, read it for me. Just read the next verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence. Now, let me hold that before you go to the next verse. Now, what is evidence? You go to court, and you start telling the judge, well, Your Honor, Ed told me. I don't want to hear that. Hearsay is not evidence. I want to know what you saw yourself. You are a witness. Come on now. Now God said, your faith is a witness. Let me tell you something. If you can believe for something, then it exists.
Did
you hear that one? If you can believe for something, it exists. The reason why you believe is because the substance that creates the thing is with you. So never pray until you believe. Suppose I wanted this tape recorder. And I'm going to say, oh God, please give me the tape, but I don't really believe. You're committing a sin.
Amen.
Don't pray to God until you believe, until you know for sure you're going to get it. And when you know for sure it's the substance that you have, the very substance that is going to create the tape recorder. So, what you should you pray? Oh God, give me the faith to pray for the tape recorder.
Amen.
Let me have the substance, Lord God, that I may pray for the tape recorder. You know, then some people get a peculiar idea about prayer, that prayer is getting down on your knees and, oh Lord, Father Almighty. Prayer is an expression of the soul to God. And it doesn't matter where or how. It's good for you to kneel down when you can before your God. Hear me? You don't kneel down before anybody else. You couldn't get a Jew to kneel down before the king or the princes. He will not bow before them, because that's what God taught them in their legal system. And you don't bow to anything, to any creature, but you bow to God. So it's good that when you have the time or the place, the convenience, you kneel down. Don't go into the restaurant and kneel down before everybody and say, oh God, you know what I mean. Amen. That looks like show off to me. But prayer. And what flashed to me is that one day we were going out on a mission, and all the brethren gathered. We had a bicycle mission. We were riding out to some place to minister to at a hospital, and the brethren came and they said, Brother DeSille, Brother Gray is sick with a terrible headache in bed, and Brother Gray is the man that will fix the bicycles. I'm going out with 15 women and nobody knows how to do anything to patch a bicycle if it's punctured or anything, and I need this man to go with me. And I said, no God, heal him now and send him. It was involuntary. The words came forth, heal him now and send him. It's going to take him 15 minutes to get there, and we say we'll wait for the 15 minutes, and here he comes riding in. We said, why did you come? He said, all of a sudden the headache went and the suggestion came strongly to me, go. And I ran outside, grabbed my bicycle, and here I am. You see, the prayer is the expression of the soul to God.
Amen.
Whatever I want. We have a way of complaining to one another. You know what happened? So-and-so did so-and-so, and John Brown said so-and-so, and that. And it makes sin. It tarnishes you. What about complaining to God? You ever complain to God? Try it sometime. Instead of complaining to man, you go to God and say, Lord, he said, you know, so-and-so, she really hurt me today. She said so-and-so and so-and-so to me, and it hurt me to my heart. Lord God, you just look after the situation. And all of a sudden, God will begin to talk to you and give your heart a peace and tell you exactly what to do and how to behave in that matter. You complain to God. You see, but you have to have faith in this Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ come here? Jesus could have stayed in heaven and saved us.
Amen.
Why did he have to come? Why did he have to bleed? Did it ever occur to you that he came specially to bleed and to die? The reason is because Adam lost. We were born from a lost humanity. He had lost. What did he lose? You ever consider what? Yeah, that's what he lost. Now, that's a simple word. He lost life. But we do not really understand what we're talking about. Adam's brain was functioning at full energy. The power of God was in the man. He did not have Christ, but the power of God was in him, and he was functioning on a full give me the word, brother.
Capacity.
That's the word. Okay. All of a sudden, sin came in. And he lost his authority. And his motor starts shutting down. And the power of his brain, the power of the life in him, everything came down to a low ebb, like we have it now. And I think we still have less than Adam had. And so, what God had to do was to send back life into the human realm. How is he going to do it? Now, if God commands that life enter into human beings from heaven now, God speak the word, let life enter into human beings, and zap, we are all zapped with life and come back. You know what would happen? Immediately, whatever avenue God used to come into you, Satan would have the right to use the same avenue to just zap everybody with satanic power. Do you understand? And so God had to go through the avenues, through the doors, through the bars, through the gates of the temple that he had created. And so now God had to put himself down on a par with us in order to get into us.
Thank you, Lord.
Because the God of heaven will never go into a person by force will. Did you understand that? God will never come into you by forcing your gate, forcing your bar, using force. You have to open up to him and say, come in. Just like you open up to the devil, you have to open up to God. That's the same avenue, the same method. But then now, how is God going to come into you by this method? He's going to come into you exactly the same way that Satan came into you. When Eve accepted the devil and Adam accepted what Eve said and lost the kingdom, immediately their whole being was changed, so that the children that were born from them were born with very low energy and susceptible to sin. You understand? Now, therefore, God has to get back on the birth. God has to get back on the birth. And because their minds now were on a low frequency, because their emotions were on that low frequency, God had to come in through the same avenues. And so by your mind, you accept Jesus as Savior. And then the life entered into you. But the life was in God. How is God going to get the life out of him into the human race? And now that is the very key by which God defeated the devil. Because you see, Satan looked through all of God's records. He had all the knowledge, the tree of knowledge, everything was open to him in heaven. Are you hearing me, brethren? Are you understanding? The tree of knowledge was open to him like a big computer, and it was wide open, and you could go in there and milk all the knowledge that you want. And Satan got the knowledge of man, the knowledge of his position, the knowledge of how to take man. And he felt that if he took man, that God could not get man away. Which is very simple. If I have all the power, and I hold you, and I hold you from inside, so that you now become a part of me, which we were, a part of the devil, and a part of his plan, and a part of his activities. And if that is so, how is anyone ever going to get you away from me when you yourself would have to ask God to come in? See what I mean? But Satan forgot one thing, and I believe he never understood the blood of Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. He forgot that it was God who made man, and God could make a man that he could not overcome.
Amen.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And when so God consorted with Abraham, as a matter of fact, it came from away up yonder, from away up with Eve. God gave Eve a promise, and he said that your child is going to bruise the head of the serpent. So the promise was given to the very woman who had caused the fall. And Eve was comforted. And if you watch scripture well, that Eve never had any children for 100 years. After she had Cain and Abel, nobody else for 100 years never had a child. Adam and Eve lived alone for 100 years, and Cain was a wild man roaming out in the bushes. And she went to God. So God, remember your promise. Now give me the son of promise. And she had Seth. She had Seth. And Seth had Enoch. And the Bible said that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was the man that began to call upon the name of God. And Enoch came forth with such a power, all the knowledge and power that Adam had, that Enoch walked by faith, walked out of life into immortality. Now, can you understand that? Can you understand a faith that is so strong that if you really desire to be immortalized, that you could walk out of life and never see death, bypass death and walk into immortality right now, tonight? Amen. But you see, Enoch touched a point of faith that is somehow hidden from us. The faith was so pure, so absolute, that he could do anything. And God said in his promises to us that all things, get me again. Come, let's all say it together. All things are possible to them that believe. My. You know, it's blessing my heart. For it seems as if an inner eye is opening. All those things that we're struggling with, all those things that we want and can't get. Blessed are those who can use their faith to get spiritual things. For men will use their faith to bound themselves to earth. But if we could banish the darkness of doubt, if we could just banish the darkness of doubt from our consciousness and begin to believe God with a pure faith, God called it a childlike faith. The little ones, I tell you, you should just look at them sometimes and learn from them. A childlike faith. He will just trust you. No matter what you are, no matter who you are, he just trusts himself into your hand. A childlike faith. If we could inculcate that childlike faith and just walk into the things of God with a pure childlike faith, nothing on earth, nothing in heaven, nothing would be denied us. Here is a man that did not use his faith to get material things. Here is a man who saw the things of heaven in its purest light. And here is a man who said, God, I want heaven. I don't want even to stay here. I want heaven. He had a wife and he had children, and his wife didn't weep over him, for Enoch walked with God. And Enoch is not what? Enoch is not what? She said Enoch is not. It means that. And the worst part of it, he carried his body with him. He took his body with him. That means to say the man had the absolute power. Do you know what the brothers in heaven are waiting for now? For their bodies, for a resurrection. They are waiting to come to the point where Enoch was to get their body. The Bible said that when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, that some of the brothers got up, kicked the rocks away, break asunder the rocks, and went and took up their bodies and walked around Jerusalem and said, here am I. Said some of them. I want us to understand tonight, if we can just get this one point straight, that the substance has been put in our hands. And sometimes my soul trembles with regret, as if it's the end and I face God. Oh, what an idiot I was. I didn't use the thing and I had it. Because we're going to look back and see what we had and realize that we did not use what we had. Hallelujah. You know, Dallas. Texas, a place of big things. The people here are big-minded. You know, the people settled here, they are big-minded. I think the spirits around here to encourage big-mindedness. And everything they do it big. And I understand they are building the biggest auditorium for the Lord in somewhere in Dallas. They will build it. But what a waste of faith. The biggest auditorium in the world. What a waste of faith. If we could only get people to build spiritual energy and power and temple in by faith, we would be really getting somewhere. I think the reason we are spinning our wheels and we haven't really done the things that we seek, because we have not been able to step out in faith. We have the substance. I am encouraging you just to start using it. And the only way you can use it is by not doubting. You know, one day if you're going to say, Lord, give me faith, God's going to turn back and say, get rid of your doubt. Oh yes, go against the doubt. Go against the spirit of doubt. I don't want you. I hate you. I despise you. This is what I want. Oh yes. Simple thing. Your business, your life. You only have to have the faith and it will be done. You believe me, brethren. And I think from tonight onward, we're going to start to apply faith to the things of God. You know, it's a beautiful thing when your heart is pure. I've seen some of the men of faith whose hearts weren't pure. And you know what happened? They had faith to do something for God, but they enriched themselves and get knotted and tied up in their own thing. So, faith has to be properly directed, or else it will be like getting a big, powerful engine and not having any tracks to run it on, and you just chew up the countryside. Yes, go on reading for me. Go on reading that second verse.
So by it the elders obtained a good report.
By it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. I wonder if you understand what it said. By faith, the elders, meaning to say all those men of God, Moses coming right down, they obtained a mighty, wonderful report. One man had faith to face lions, and the lion mouths were shut. They could not touch him. See, if a lion comes in here tonight, what would you do? You'd make a door through the wall, wouldn't you? Amen. We need to have a higher dimension of faith than what we have now. And we need to see material things as only the servants.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And not the masters of the people of God. We need to stand on our faith and overcome by faith. You mean good, you mean well, you have all God's good intention, and all of a sudden a cuss word come out of your mouth and you behave unseemly. You go to God with it. Say, God, no, I am going to believe you. I am going to believe you that by the blood of Jesus Christ you're going to take this thing out of me right now.
Yeah.
Yes. I am going to believe God that I will be perfected and brought into the kingdom of God right now and not be a castaway. Hallelujah. And sometimes God is going to say, well, if you want perfection, get rid of your imperfections. And then you say, oh God, how can I? He said, you begin to fast and pray, and I'm going to teach you how. And so God himself will lead you into righteousness. But we obtain all things through Christ. You know, formerly the do-it-yourself time is over. Formerly we would teach people to do this and do that and do that. It's a formula. Now God is saying, don't worry about that. You go to God and tell him to give you what you want and believe it and you will receive it. The Bible says, Saul went looking for Tarsus, and he went to Samuel, and Samuel laid his hand on him and anoint him with oil. And the Bible said, a new heart entered into Saul. And Saul began to prophesy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I remember a girl came in and she said, I want the gift of prophecy. I wish I had a sense to have inquired, why do you want the gift of prophecy? But you come, everybody's asking for something, some the prayer, some sick, want healing, praise be to God, and you want the gift of prophecy. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive the gift of prophecy. And she said, ha, 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 and she started to prophesy. And that girl can't stop. She went into a Methodist church and she broke out in prophecy. They had to put her outside. Praise be to God. I hope you don't ask for that in your immaturity, and then you fall into the condemnation of the devil because you have a gift that is powerful and you are, the gift is up here and you are down.
Amen.
See what I mean? Prophesying does not make you a prophet. A prophet is made of God. God make people prophets, and God make them prophets with a certain amount of seniority, spiritual seniority. So your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That is, the gift of prophecy will be scattered in the church. By the time you have the Holy Ghost, you have prophecy in you, whether you know it or not. Amen. Some of the things you just say with your mouth casually is prophesying. So the gift of prophecy in the church. But the prophets are given of God. It's an endowment, a gift to the church of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So praise be to God. Let's hear the rest of that scripture.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Listen now. Through faith, meaning to say God only had in his mind what he wanted. And he spit the word, and what he wanted was created out there. Amen. Man was first in the mind of God. What we are and what we will be was first in the mind of God. And God saw us as if we were perfected even before we were made. Can you understand that?
Thank you, Lord.
So then this mighty substance is with us and in our hands. And the more powerful a substance is, the more careful you have to be in handling it. Because you can create a monstrosity when you intended to do something good. But let me show you how to handle it. Read on, sister.
So the things which are seen were not made of things which are seen.
Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that the things you have in your mind that you hope for, it is the substance that you have to create those things. It was not made from things that were made. In other words, God wanted a piece of wood, and he didn't go and cut down a tree to make the wood. He speak the word and the wood come forth. Read that for me. Read on the next verse.
By faith Abel offered to God an excellent sacrifice.
Then Cain. I want you to go down to Abraham. That's somewhere around verse 16. And this is going to teach you something, yes?
By faith Abraham, he was God, offered Isaac, and he that received the promise.
By faith Abraham offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises, go ahead,
offered up his only begotten
son. Go ahead. Yes. Can you imagine that? God gives you a promise that Isaac is going to be the father of this great nation of the Jews, and God tell you to kill him, and you go up ready to kill him. Praise be to God. Go ahead.
God was able to raise him even from the dead. Yes. From whence also he received him as Jesus. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, left both the sons of Joseph and worshipped him
upon the top of his bed. Hold on there. I want you to look with me at the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Now, the man whose the end of your faith is some material thing puts God to shame. I want you to notice that's what the scripture said. God was not ashamed of Abraham because Abraham did not desire the natural land, although God gave it to him. God just finished giving Abraham, he said, turn to the east. And he said, turn to the west, turn to the north, turn to the south. And he said, as far as the eye can see, he said, this land have I given you. And God showed him the boundaries of the land he gave him. And next thing happened, there was a quarrel between his herdsman and the herdsman of Lot, his nephew. And what did Abraham say? Well, this is my land. You know, this is my land, and you can't dictate to me where. No, sir. Abraham said, now, if you choose to go to the east, I will go to the west. The choice he gave Lot, the choice to tell him where to go. He said, if you go to the north, I will go to the south. And when Lot looked down in the plains of Sodom, where he saw the beauty of the grass and the plains, and he said, I will go down into Sodom. And he said, well, I'll go in the opposite direction. You see what I'm saying? God had just given him, but the man did not have his heart. You hear me? He did not have his heart upon the material things. He desired a heavenly country. And he said God had prepared a spiritual city for him. And I want you to understand that the end of your faith is in the spiritual things and not in the natural. God's going to bless you naturally. God's going to give you the desires of your heart naturally. But he's going to only do it to teach you and to practice your faith, so that your faith will grow like a man's muscles grow when he exercises, that you will reach up and lay a hold on the spiritual things. Hallelujah. And this is the failure of the faith ministries. This is the only failure that the faith ministries have, that they lead the people towards natural faith, faith for natural things. And I hardly ever hear one say, now let us have faith for our perfection. Amen. We have faith for the offering, we have faith for the tithes, we have faith for this, and nobody said, let us have faith for our perfection, that God will perfect us by faith. Hallelujah. The substance is in our hands. Let us use it for the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to just end the message here so that we might be able to go over and over and understand what God is giving us tonight until it sinks down into our hearts and we are able to appropriate it. Use faith on natural things. Use faith on small things. But anything that you can believe will be done, that you must ask for by faith and thank God for it and rejoice and wait. Then your faith will be practiced. God bless you. We can talk about now. Yes.
One of the things that could happen is if I say Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And that's the way Jesus faith had been tested and tried before.
Yes.
Lay down only
begotten
Son.
Yes.
And that stood out
in the spirit.
When he was tried.
And you notice it is in the natural. Because that boy was all to Abraham. It was his whole life. And God said, kill him. And the Bible records that Abraham wasn't you know, just fooling around and saying, I'm going to pretend that I'm working. He was plunging that knife right down into him. And the angel stopped him. Praise God. Thank And you're not going to overcome by just kneeling down and praying or sitting down. For God is going to send the people into your way, those who are to be delivered, and you will have to speak the word of the Lord to them. That's the way God does it. A lot of us in the past feel that, oh, we are up here in the spirit. We don't have to go out on the street and save a few souls. The people are dying all around you. Amen. You have to have eyes for people. And no matter how they insult you, you have to, don't care about the insult. Just care about their souls.
Flesh cannot inherit the kingdom, but flesh cannot kill flesh. Father, that I said I want to do it by my own. And there's no way to do it. Only way is to surrender to the Spirit of God and let Him do it in you. And that's by fasting and prayer. A lot of times, you know, I've seen ministers get up and preach against sin, preach against sinful action, and preach against all of that congregation, and say, people, there's no need for me to come. So he was preaching truth, but he was only preaching against sin, and the judgment comes in. And he was condemning you more than anything else. But there was no saying to you how that you might get out of the very thing that you are bound in. Even in the faith teaching, what we should be teaching the people to do is to have faith in God to do the job in them and on them. And when the job is being done, you don't cry, oh God, take so it's happening. Because all the rough things that happen to you in your home, on the street, or wherever, these are the methods that God is using to bring you. Now that you've got the consciousness, then you let the job be done and here. And it's like a dentist filing your teeth and then cutting out all the rotten areas in it. And it's dreadful, hard. But when it is finished, then, you know, you have, I've got some of those teeth for 2 years with the filling in it. But it was hard to sit down there and get that kind of inside of your mouth. But it works a great deliverance, a great blessing. So it is that we must patiently bear the tribulation of this present life, whatever is going on, and say, yes, God, it's working good. Thank you, Jesus. It is working good. It's an experience that all of us have gone through, and it makes you very resilient. It makes you, once you get the right attitude, the right perspective of God, you stop worrying. You just relax and take it daily. The things that happen to you is just God, like you say, no, I don't really see. I'm feeling some of that, you know, I'm not seeing, but you're always able to look back next day, next week, next month, next year, say, and then I don't know why I was under that pressure. I don't know why some sort of a love is happening to me. Then you begin to learn to become overcome. You do the wrong thing, fly off the handle, and you long for it to happen to you again. To really prove. And happens again, and the pressure grips you, and you didn't do so well, but you didn't do as badly as you did the first time. And you actually see progress. So the things that used to kill you, they are now blessing you because you are seeing where you approach them differently. Until the time comes when it does not affect you at all. You see, the self, the flesh, and the Christ gets more. I mean, you're talking in kind of generality, but probably if we got a little nearer, let's say a husband or a wife did something that it just hurts you, and you fly off the handle, and you come, or you take some words and the prophet flies through your mind. Oh man, I tell you, sometimes we curse in our mind.
Oh, amen.
And you're able to break the words down and it didn't come. It's just as much pleasant. Because the Spirit of God hears you. And you express and your actions were like, you know, much more than what you said. And so it was very unpleasant and very burdensome. But one thing you know, this is not God. This is not the way I would like to be. I would like to be able to overcome the thing. Okay. And so therefore you pray. And you say, Lord, cause me to do the right thing. And if there is a thing on a little purpose, and you come right back to me, maybe some time after, that somebody hits you. And it does not matter whether you are right or whether you are wrong. You're going to find that answer. It doesn't matter whether you were in the right or the other person was in the wrong. But generally, the other person will be in the wrong too. And you'll be in the wrong also. But probably you can't even see that you're right and yet you're in. Okay.
This is where last time when you talked about the two generations of sin. With opposite words, so to speak.
Yes.
And I would say, no, I found it in my relationship with my husband that as both of us really decided to put God's kingdom first, no matter what the cost to do it, either the things of joy or corporate, that no matter what came up, as soon as you recognized it wasn't Christ, you didn't even want to see that you were mad at the other guy and said, uh-oh, this isn't Christ. You've got to step back, hold out, and get another perspective of it.
Yes.
And it's amazing how, instead of insisting on that about
it,
you give it up, and you actually get the real life. You get a color to it, or whatever. Even if you were right, if you're willing to give up even the things that you were right about, God will reward you with a greater view of even your own life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll be better with that. If you say something private, this is impossible to accept.
And you can be right, and your attitude wrong.
Going to that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you God says, do something, and that is wrong. And you say, well, God says, so if I'm going to do it regardless of how he sees and regardless. Now, I can't kill you to do God's will. That's not God's will. If I believe God's will, then I can rest. And if you feel that you are right, and so you're going ahead, and I can rest knowing that God's going to bring me, and my faith is good. And so, in your home, you need the faith of your children. You need it if you're in heaven. You need it in every effort, in every work. You need it in church. You need it. So many bodies we have group that cannot function together. They can only function on that box and say, okay, you do this and you do that. And that's the weakness, because they need to function on the Christ. But this one said, Christ did it. And everybody's catching one against them. If God tells me to do it, then it must be right. No, sir. Right word, wrong attitude. Sometimes God tells you to do something else.
Something is wrong.
You
don't have the fullness of the situation.
Because somebody else is not ready to do it. If you must work, is not ready.
And you don't push it. Don't ever have to push in your bucket. Well, I don't. I might be wrong with that, but I found in my own life that it's hard for them to walk through.
The scripture that came to me was where Jesus said, a husbandman planted the vineyard and patiently waited. That's true. We have to wait 6 months, 8 months, 5 days. Now, for you, the fruit he still has to do. So, it's part of money. Now, he must be patiently waited, having known. And if you go to the next time, the number is down to 9 minutes. So, we have to see that the glory of God, and we need to believe in what we believe in it so much that when you see the manifestation of anything else, you should have faith, I will come. Because that is the beginning of the spirit. That is
following the law. You see, since we have done that this year,
you have to consider you are not here, you have to be a husband. And that you need to look at that person as Christ, as your head. And it tells you of your imperfection in that your head is so weak. So therefore, you have to minister. And let me talk about minister, I hate the word, because in English it does not carry the meaning. But when Jesus spoke to me about ministry, all I could visualize is washing your feet. That is, as I am here now, I will come, if I were in this area, and not involved with I come to your houses and I clean your houses and I would babysit your kids and I would clean your yard and I would fix anything around the yard you have to fix. And to me, that is the servantship to which I am called. You know, many people are shocked when they come to Florida because they're seeing an old hat and an overall and I'm working. And I'm helping people in if want somebody to babysit, we go down to the children, babysit them.